You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. The first local produce of the year is always a treat, and one of the most popular and delicious is asparagus.
Today on Food Friday, we'll get some great ideas for preparing asparagus from Johnny Hunter. He's the culinary director for Underground Food Collective in Madison. He was one of two semifinalists for this year's James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest.
And we want to hear from you. What is your favorite asparagus recipe? What dishes do you think it really makes the most of it? What shines when you use asparagus? Call us at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can post on the Central Time Facebook page.
Johnny Hunter, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks so much for having me on.
So I love asparagus now. I was a late convert, though. Wasn't part of my childhood. Have you always been a fan of asparagus, Johnny?
No, I think it much more became something that I ate as I started eating seasonally more often.
What do you like about it when you cook with it? What's special about asparagus?
I think the unique flavor. I was thinking about this the other day, and there's some bitterness in there, and there's the sweetness, and then there's kind of that vegetableness, but it tastes absolutely different than any other vegetable, I think, that you eat during the year. And I think it's awesome because it's the first one that you really have access during the spring, and so those are really kind of cool features of it.
Now, I'll eat asparagus year-round. I'll get the stuff from out of state or out of hemisphere even if I can, but it is special when it's local. How much of a difference is there between the fresh local stuff and, you know, the stuff we can buy in December?
I mean, I think the less that the asparagus has to travel, the more the flavor is going to come through. So, you know, you're going to have, it's going to kind of be a little bit more wrinkly, and it's going to lose a lot of water, and some of that crispness is gone. I think flavor-wise, you're losing the sweet notes. So I do think that it's a significant benefit to have it, you know, in season.
So we are in the asparagus season now, right? I think I've seen it at farmer's market.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're going into, like, I think I've had more asparagus than I can consume during right now.
Eat your weight in asparagus.
Yeah.
So how long does the season typically go?
Normally, you're looking at that first week of May. You know, it changes. It's a perennial vegetable, so it's dependent on whether or not on when it's put in the ground. So I generally see asparagus that first week of May, and then you will see it into June, maybe mid-June for sure, and then tapering off at the end of June.
Now, a controversy that I heard about, I hadn't known about, when I make asparagus, I always cut off the tough end, right? I cut off the tough end with a knife. There are partisans who say, put the knife away, break it off. Does that really make a difference?
I think you get more use if you break it off because it is the woodiness, the woody ends, it's kind of hard to chew on. If you snap it off, then it's coming off exactly where you want it to come off. The part that you can't kind of eat with your teeth.
Yeah, I always, this was something I picked up from the Food Channel actually a while ago. Rachel Ray, I'll credit her. She said that if you just bend your asparagus, it will break at the natural spot where the edible stuff stays and the other stuff goes. Is that the way you can do it?
Yeah, it's just kind of it's like a lever, and you hold the one side and hold the other and then just start bending and it will pop off really quickly.
I find it strangely satisfying to just take the whole bunch and cut it all at once.
Yeah, but then you have the chance of getting some really woody parts in there if you don't
get
the right spot.
Oh, and I do. We're talking to Johnny Hunter with the Underground Food Collective in Madison, talking about asparagus, how to cook it, what to do with it, and let's start getting into that, Johnny. I just throw it in a cast iron skillet, a little olive oil, salt, and pepper. I don't get creative with it. What are some of your favorite ways to prepare that asparagus?
I actually, the same way, is, you know, the most direct way that I have it is just roasted asparagus, and, you know, we'll eat it warm or hot, but I don't overvex kind of my thinking with asparagus because we're coming out of a winter months where you have to be creative with everything to make it taste fresh.
And yay, carrots
we
again.
We have this vegetable that is super fresh and we have access to it in abundance, and normally I just want to eat it. A lot of times I'm just like, for the first few weeks, I just eat it raw. But I like roasting it, and I think that's a really simple preparation. You don't have to overthink it. But I have some other ideas maybe to help people at this point of the year when they're like, okay, what else do I do with asparagus in my CSA box that keeps coming? full of it. So
yeah, and we want to hear those for sure. But first of all, what is your technique for roasting asparagus? And does that take like a little bit of the bitterness out of it?
Definitely, and it promotes that roasted flavor, and you get the caramelization, which is delicious. So what I do is, and I think you're right about using a cast iron. I think it's a great vehicle for it because it heats everything up. It holds like a constant temperature if you heat it up nicely instead of something like a aluminum pan that might, you know, kind of lose temperature quickly and you don't get as even browning. But for me, it's really nice to have that layer of brown on one side of it that is crispy and kind of delicious. So, you know, 400 degrees, 15 minutes, toss it with olive oil, some salt and pepper, and maybe a squeeze of lemon when it's done.
That's what I like. It's kind of hard to screw up when you just roast the asparagus, either in the oven or I do it on the stovetop, too. We'll get into some more complicated recipes, still pretty easy, actually, in just a few. First, we've got Jill on the line in Rhinelander. You can join in, too, with your asparagus tips. Your tips on how to cook asparagus at 800-642-1234. Jill, hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say those, quote, woody stems of the asparagus that you, quote, can't eat. If you peel them, they are delicious raw. You have little asparagus sticks.
Okay, yep. So how, you just peel them with a knife or by hand?
You just take a knife and that tough skin will peel off, or you can use one of those vegetable peelers. The same thing with the, quote, tough stalks of broccoli. You can peel off that tough outside hide and cut them up into sticks, and they're delicious raw.
Well, I never knew that, Jill. Thanks a lot for the call. So we can make use of that part of the asparagus that I didn't think we could use, Johnny.
Yeah, actually, and that is a really good point. You can definitely peel it and leave it on there, and then when you roast it and stuff, you just have the end peeled off about the last inch and a half or so. The other thing that, you know, and one of the main reasons that we actually do knock off the ends is because we use it to make a broth or a soup. So you can add asparagus flavor into, you know, into a soup, or if you want to make like a vegetable broth. So it can be, it should never be wasted.
And you've got a couple of recipes for us to think about. What are some things if we want to get more adventurous with our asparagus at this point in the season?
Sure. So the recipes. Okay. So the recipe that I sent that I was talking about, and I want to I think it's funny because I think I remember hearing Tori Miller give a very similar recipe about 10 years ago on Wisconsin Public Radio, and I've messed around with it a lot since then, but it's funny because we're good friends, and I always think back to hearing him talk about asparagus back then. But so one of my favorites is just doing a blanched asparagus salad with a shallot vinaigrette. I like the red wine vinegar and some mustard. So you just blanch it for 4 or 5 minutes in a boiling water and then pull it out and toss it with the shallot vinaigrette and then throw some hard-boiled egg and some Parmesan cheese on it.
That sounds really good and pretty simple, I think.
Very simple.
Yeah, and we've got that and some other asparagus recipes on the Central Time Facebook page. Now, I've been hesitant to put asparagus in boiling water because I think of overcooked, mushified asparagus. But that's the key, just 3 to 5 minutes, you said.
Yeah, really, really edge on the side of not overcooking. Because I think you're right. Everyone's had like a terrible experience with overcooked asparagus. Another recipe that I didn't put up there, but I thought maybe people would enjoy trying to do this, is kind of frying it, so doing like a batter and then dredging it in either breadcrumbs or flour, and then frying it in olive oil on a stovetop until it browns up. You know, you get a kind of a different texture from the outside of it and still have that kind of soft, delicious asparagus.
And how much oil are we talking here? Are we just sautéing this, or are we, like, deep frying it with, you know, actual
Fry Daddy style.
Right, yeah.
I think you can do either. You know, if you're really ambitious and you want to do, like, a tower of them, then maybe go with the oil, with the large batter. But you could pan fry it pretty easily.
Oh, that sounds yummy, too.
Yeah, hard to go wrong with batter fried any vegetable. Yeah.
Yeah. Then you sort of can tell yourself you're eating a health food. Okay, let's go to Lisa joining us in Kadad. Hi, Lisa.
Hi. I just have a question. So if you have a patch of asparagus in your yard or you see it in the ditch in the road, the country road next to you, does it matter to have it continue to grow back better if you cut it below the ground with a knife, or if you break it off at that point with your hand?
Yeah, great question, Lisa. Thanks. So what about the foraging part, Johnny?
Okay, so I don't grow asparagus personally, but when I talk to the farmers who grow it, they definitely say that cutting it is the way to do it instead of breaking it off. So, and kind of cutting it lower. But this is not expert advice at all here. So,
all right, we'll get more of the cooking side of asparagus coming up. We're talking to Johnny Hunter. He's with the Underground Food Collective. He's giving us advice on cooking with that seasonal vegetable, one of my favorites, asparagus. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you have a favorite recipe that uses asparagus? Have you always loved it, or did it take you a while to develop a taste? Do you have a recipe to share? You can call in at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're talking about asparagus now on Food Friday, and we're happy to have Johnny Hunter with us. He's the culinary director for the Underground Food Collective in Madison and was one of two semifinalists for this year's James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest.
And we want to hear from you. How do you use asparagus? Do you have a unique recipe to share? Do you look forward to asparagus season every year at this time? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
And we go to our callers now. We've got Ann joining us in Pewaukee. Ann, hi.
Hi, guys. Hi, Johnny. I have a recipe that's an old farm recipe. I grew up with it here in Wisconsin. I'm from Pewaukee. And did you ever hear of goldenrod?
Yeah.
Oh, you did. And I'm not going to tell you anything new. It's where you have English muffin or toast, and then you steam the asparagus and put it on the muffin, and then you make a roux gravy, white gravy, and put the egg whites in it, and a hard-boiled egg. You put the egg whites in, and then you chop up the golden yellow insides and sprinkle it over, and salt and pepper, and it's just delicious.
Wow. Oh, and that's called goldenrod?
It's called goldenrod, and I want some now.
And that sounds really good.
I do, too.
That sounds delicious. I was thinking of the edible wildflower.
Oh. I was, too. That's why it took my brain a minute to reroute, but that sounded delicious. Thank you.
But that's a great recipe. I think it speaks to my favorite asparagus kind of combination, which is egg and asparagus.
Yeah, we were talking off mic about how good asparagus is in quiche. It's another egg and asparagus combination.
Yeah, I think that, or even if you don't want to have to do a quiche, just a frittata is a really easy recipe for people to do, and it's quick, and you don't have to make a crust, and it just goes so well together.
Or even if I have leftover asparagus, which doesn't happen often, usually gets eaten, but when I do, just throwing in the pan, frying up eggs with it, scrambled eggs around the leftover asparagus, eggs and asparagus seem like a natural combo.
Yeah, I think it's the richness playing off the kind of the high notes and the bitterness and the kind of vegetable flavor from the asparagus that works so well.
And if you want to add some kind of cheese to it, say to your frittata or your quiche, what do you think goes well with that asparagus taste?
Definitely, I like the creamier cheeses. So you can do anything from a cheddar, or I really like it with. The Pleasant Ridge Reserve from Uplands Dairy, I think, it goes nicely with asparagus. It kind of fruity and creamy flavor. Also, I gave a recipe where I used kind of a soft rind cheese or a brie with a shaved asparagus and a vinaigrette, which I think is a really nice, and some torn bread. So,
all right, back to our callers now. We've got Eric on the line in Green Bay. Eric, hi.
Hi. I usually take asparagus, throw it on the grill, and grill it in some olive oil, sprinkle olive oil all over it, and then throw it on, toss it around a little bit, and that's a great way. Otherwise, you take the same thing, but you wrap the pieces in prosciutto, and then put some Parmesan cheese on top of it. Ooh. So you wrap a couple pieces in prosciutto, and then, and then Parmesan on top.
It's great, and then you throw that all on the grill with the prosciutto and everything, Eric.
Oh, it's like heaven.
Great, Eric. Thanks a lot. So a couple things there. First of all, Johnny, wrapping your asparagus in pork product. I know people do bacon sometimes. He's talking prosciutto there.
Yeah, I think, it's very, very nice combination, the ham and the kind of the dry-aged prosciutto there is just, it's wonderful. I actually prefer it to bacon. And then I like his idea of grilling, too. And one thing he talked about was just kind of how he grills it straight. He doesn't worry about blanching it. I think that's a good idea, and I know a lot of people do blanch asparagus before they grill, but I would say, for the most part, that it's not necessary.
All right, well, that makes it easier. All right, well, thank you for that idea there. We're going to go next to Sandy in Walworth. Sandy, hi.
Hello. I have a recipe that I got from my sister. She got it from Vegetarian Times, and it's for asparagus pesto lasagna, and it is out of this world awesome.
Pesto and lasagna, so a whole lot of things going on there with the asparagus and the Italian stuff. What do you think about that combo, Johnny?
The one question I have is, do you make the pesto with the asparagus, or is it separate?
The pesto goes into the creamy sauce that you use in there.
So, but is it an asparagus pesto or a normal?
No, a regular pesto. Hmm.
So one thing you might want to think of is just making an asparagus pesto instead of making a regular pesto with
basil. So wait, how would you do that?
So you would want to blanch it in this circumstance, but you could just take the asparagus, blanch it, and then add olive oil, some lemon, asparagus, and some kind of nut, pine nuts or walnuts are used. A lot of times when I'm making pestos, though, I use pumpkin seeds because of nut allergies, and I think the pumpkin seeds have a nice flavor. And then blend it all together, and you have a dip, or, you know, if you wanted a super asparagus lasagna pesto, it's going to have lots of extra asparagus flavor in there.
And, Sandy, just checking on how you make this asparagus lasagna, I assume you just layer it in where you'd layer in, meat or mushrooms or something like that. Do you cook the asparagus at all before it goes in?
Well, you cut it into little bits, and you saute it with some garlic.
Okay.
And then you have your sauce, and you have your cheese, and you have your layers of lasagna pasta.
So it's pre-sauteed, and then it goes in with the layers. And that's, I think, a key a lot of times to veggie lasagnas. You want something with that texture to replace the texture of the meat. And a lot of times people do with
mushrooms
or eggplants, I think I've seen.
Like yeah. Well,
asparagus, great plant.
Spring idea there. Well, thank you for that, Sandy. And let's go next to Pat in Duluth. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I've been making an asparagus soup for years, and this year I started adding some stinging nettle to it at the very, very end of the cooking, and I just puree it all together, and that stinging nettle has brought it to an entirely new level. We just love it.
I got to ask, what does stinging nettle taste like? I know people eat it, and they drink it as tea. I just can't get past that. It stings me, so
and
I want to eat it.
Yes. Well, tell us, Pat.
Well, if you get it when it's very young, it's just like spinach, even milder than spinach.
Huh.
And I've been using it even when it's so high as like 6 inches. But I will say that it's used by a lot of our butterflies, especially those that overwinter. And so you don't want to get any, you don't want to take nettle that they have laid their eggs on.
Okay, well, that is interesting.
I also am a huge proponent of cooking with nettles. Again, it's one of those things that's available early, and it's one of the first chances you get to eat something, and I think it has a nice flavor. Again, it's very vegetable flavored, but making a tea with it is delicious. We use it all the time in the spring ingredients. It's really nice.
I got it in my CSA box once, and I thought, you know what, I'm going to try it. But you did have to wear the gloves, even though I guess it was early on in the season, and I just couldn't get past the stinging nettle part, even though it tasted delicious. I don't know.
Yeah, you do want to wear gloves when you're handling it. But once you do a blanch with it normally in most cooking preparations, and so that will take care of any of the stinging properties, or any type of cooking will take care of that. But most people blanch it before they use it.
Johnny, as we wrap up, as you said, we're in the midst of asparagus season. Do you ever get to a point this time of year where you're like, okay, too much asparagus, I'm done with it, I can't face it anymore?
Yeah, I think we go so big in on asparagus, you know, we try to put it in everywhere that by the time it's gone, I'm okay with it.
You're ready to be done.
Yeah, but I only eat asparagus when it's in season. And there's a couple things I do that with, and I think that asparagus is one of the things that I think is really worthwhile.
All right, Johnny, thank you so much for joining us for Food Friday.
Yeah, thanks for having me on.
That's Johnny Hunter. He's the culinary director for Underground Food Collective in Madison. He was one of two semifinalists for this year's James Beard Award for Best Chef Midwest.
And don't forget that you can find a handful of Johnny's delicious asparagus recipes over on the Central Time Facebook page. And if you've got other advice, recipes, tips for listeners who want to try some of yours, you could leave them there too.
Yeah, I need to get some more asparagus. I've eaten a lot. I'm ready to eat some more right now-ish, actually.